Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our show, It's Time to Awake. On this show, there will be various topics presented, examined, and explained with an emphasis on the Word of God and the doctrine of repentance through His Son, Christ. Romans 13 and 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, but now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We hope that you may be edified by the word of God through Christ. Shalom.
Are you as a Christian in a true church of God in Christ? There are churches that identify their organizations or movements as churches of God in Christ or COGIC, but are the practices of these churches in line with what the scriptures describe as a church of God in Christ? Acts 7:38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. The angel in above scripture is Christ, and the church that was established in the wilderness is the same church of God in Christ of today. We have to ask ourselves, are we living, worshiping, and giving reverence to the lively oracles that he delivered unto us? Join the body of Christ Church as we discuss this topic, are you truly, as a Christian, in a church of God in Christ? All right, today's topic is going to be on the church of God in Christ. The understanding of the true church of God in Christ. Because there's a lot of understanding out there, and I was looking at an article concerning this recent congressional investigation of these churches and mega churches, so on and so forth. And basically, when you look in the scriptures, go to 1 Peter 4:11. Read that before we start. Okay. When you look at the Bible gives us understanding of all things. So even understanding of what should be happening in your church and the function thereof and the things that they do in itself, how it's formulated, how it operates, how it's guided, all these things are given to us in the scriptures. So now the only hope that we have is to belong to a true church of God in Christ. Because now, what was before that?
Sin, wickedness.
Exactly. We were supposed to be gathered to the Most High through Christ. Remember, that's what the scriptures told us in the wilderness, what Christ was given as a guide for us. We were being nourished and we were being guided and fed by him, spiritual meat and spiritual drink. When you look at 1 Corinthians 10, and he was supposed to guide us to that what? That right state of mind that we were supposed to have to serve the Most High in righteousness and holiness. So that was the what? Church there. That's what it was supposed to be developed on. And then when we look today, it's still developed and grounded and founded on the same principles in Christ.
In the Bible.
Exactly. According to what the scripture said. Read the scripture real quick before we get into today's class.
1 Peter 4:11.
Mm-hmm.
If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God.
Mm-hmm.
If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth,
right,
that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
So the Most High, the praise goes to the Most High through his Son, Christ. That's why we don't need to be coming up with our own clever doctrine, or clever words and clever sayings and establishment of the way we think it should be. It's got to be based on the oracles of the Most High, which is what he gives us written according to the scriptures. So now, having said all that, we're going to deal with the understanding of the true church of God in Christ. And we can go, we don't have to really do anything but look and understand what the scriptures are saying. So now, go to Acts 1. Let's start there. Let's go to Acts 1. Let's look at verse 6 through 8.
Acts chapter 1, verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power.
Mm-hmm.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
So now what Christ was explaining to them, he told them to go wait in Jerusalem, right, till they received this power. This is what was going to be the foundation of the church and the understanding that was going to come therefrom, right? Mm-hmm. Now it talks about here, we're going to be, the true church is going to receive the Holy Ghost. It's going to come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, the scriptures talk about over and over again that the Israelites have to be gathered from all four corners of the earth. This is why he has to be witness to them in all these places. And this is what we have to understand. Now, when we go to Acts the second chapter, let's get an understanding now. Acts the second chapter, this is when this event that Christ just said would happen is taking place. Right? The Acts of the Apostles, meaning the things that were a lot of the things that were prophesied and Christ foretold of, a lot of them happen right in the book when you look at Paul, his travels, Peter, John, Luke, and all the other apostles, and the things they were doing in the places they were going, right? So now, this is one of those things that was manifesting itself when the Holy Spirit came upon the people. But it's not what the world teaches, because it's the Holy Spirit to establish the understanding of this church and what this church was going to be about. So now, when we look at it now, let's read verse 2 and 1, and then just jump to 5. Because everybody knows the story, but people want to take this and say, and speak in this so-called spiritual language, which is foolishness. Mm-hmm. Read the scripture, bro.
Acts chapter 2, verses 1.
Mm-hmm.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
Mm-hmm.
Verses 6?
5.
I'm sorry. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven.
So now, there were dwelling at Jerusalem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember he said, wait at Jerusalem?
Right.
Then this thing, this Holy Ghost that I'm talking about is going to come upon you, and you're going to be a witness to me in Jerusalem, Samaria, and all over, and to every four parts of the earth, right? So now, where were these Jews from?
They're from every part under, it says out of every nation under heaven, so they're scattered all over.
Right, but so is there any place in the earth, the known earth at this time, that these Jews did not come from?
Nope.
Because it says out of every nation under heaven. Now, when we understand that these are Israelites scattered throughout the four corners of the earth that knew they were Israel, they were coming to celebrate one of the feast days that the Most High says we have to celebrate, which is the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Pentecost, right? That's what it was. So they were here doing that, but during this event, the Most High was going to show something through Christ. That Holy Ghost, that Comforter that Christ said is expedient that I go, that this thing be dispersed on you,
right,
meaning the Spirit that's going to call you into all understanding and remembrance and the things that I've said unto you. This is the Spirit that's not just going to lie with Christ now and who he gave it to, like the first he gave it to the 12, then he gave it to the 70. Then the Most High is going to disperse it on whoever believes on Christ in his name and has the appropriate works. That's what's going to happen. But that is what the formulation of the church, a true church of God in Christ, is all about, and is grounded in these simple principles. Christ said, go to Jerusalem and wait for this thing to happen, because once this thing is going to happen, I'm going to formulate my church based on these events, right? So now, these devout men It says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, Israelites, devout men out of every nation under heaven, right? So what happened? The Holy Spirit came on them, and these men started speaking in tongues, and it tells you that. Read verse 6, please. Read 5 and then verse 6.
Acts chapter 2, verses 5.
Mm-hmm.
And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven.
These men spoke different dialects and languages because they were scattered on the four corners of the earth. What happened?
Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language.
So all these Israelites from all over the four corners of the earth heard the word being prophesied to them in the language that they spoke based on the land that they came from. There was not any discernible spiritual God language that these people tried to do.
Undiscernible, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right. There's no undiscernible God's language according to what these people say of the Spirit. This is the understanding of what the Holy Ghost is all about, because now the Holy Ghost is coming upon these men to instruct others in how to return to God and follow Him.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the church is grounded upon, right? So now, just read 5 and 6 again, please.
Acts chapter 2, verses 5.
Mm-hmm.
And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language.
Right. So now the story goes on. We can't read the whole thing because of time. They said that, well, these men must be drunk. What is this, this and that? Then Peter started prophesying through the Holy Spirit on what the prophets had said before about this event. This would happen, and this is how the church will be formulated, right? So just go all the way down. Let's deal with verse 22 and 23.
Acts chapter 2, verses 22.
Uh-huh.
Ye men of Israel, hear these words.
Wait a minute. Who was he talking to?
The men of Israel.
Right, these Jews from every nation under heaven, these Israelites. Because why? It tells you in Matthew 1:21, Christ came to save his people from their sins. This is the what? Fulfillment of that promise. Mm-hmm. Read the scripture, brother.
Acts chapter 2, verses 22.
Mm-hmm.
Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know.
Mm-hmm.
Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain.
So now what happened? All these people were consenting to who?
Christ's death.
Christ's death. Why? Because they were what? Tricked and brainwashed,
right?
And by Satan, right?
Right.
And they were doing what? Consenting to his death, and this was the Messiah that they what? Ignored, right? So now, let's continue on with this thought process, right? Because it comes to a point by whether he said, go wait on the Holy Ghost, he's going to bring that part out, right? It says here. Now, what was going on? Was he going, Hassel Obama, speaking undiscernible language when he was in these tongues?
No,
what was he doing? Prophesying according to what?
According to the Holy Ghost.
Exactly.
And they all understood in their own language.
Right. Now, when he was in the process of prophesying in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, what was he doing? Was he making it up, ad-libbing, or was he bringing out what the prophets of old had said about this day?
They were bringing out what was written aforetime about Christ.
Exactly. So now that's showing you that that Holy Spirit and that knowledge from the Holy Ghost brings you and draws you back to what?
To the scriptures.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So these people that's claiming they got walking in the Holy Ghost, you can easily check that. By what scripture are you talking about? Because everything, you can check it for yourself. Everything that Peter prophesied about on this situation happening when they were accused of being drunk,
mm-hmm,
is something that was spoken in the Psalms or by in some of the prophets.
Yep.
Right? So now, when you get this, right, he's talking about, listen, you crucified the Messiah. He was the one that came to save us from our sins. We know that. Now, go on to verse 30 in Acts 2.
Acts chapter 2, verses 30.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne.
So now, this kills Immaculate Conception because a lot of churches are founded and grounded in the thought of Immaculate Conception. This talk about Christ coming through the fruit of David's loins and being raised up to sit on the throne of who? His father David. We just did the kingdom thing
a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Where it said in Luke 1, verse 32 or 33, Christ was going to sit on the throne of his father David and rule over the house of Israel forever, and there's not going to be any ending to his kingdom.
A human lineage.
Exactly. So now, this is going to back up what that said, but it's going in this context about how he's setting up the church. And just let me let you in on a little hint. The church is nothing different than the body of Christ. It's the same thing. It's one
not a building.
Exactly.
Not a building.
So now, keep going, bro. Read on.
Acts chapter 2, verses 31.
Uh-huh.
He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ.
Right. So now, jump down and just read verse 33.
Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear.
So now, remember, what did we read first? Christ told them in Acts 1, go and hang out in Jerusalem, because once you're there, wait for the Holy Ghost. It's going to come upon you. And what are you going to do? You're going to testify and witness of me. So that's what this Holy Ghost is all about.
Right.
Right? Not about...
It's drawing people to Christ, not about making noise and undiscernible language.
Undiscernible language and all these things you claim you're doing in the Holy Ghost. Because it's being clearly defined what's going on when these men get overcome with the Holy Ghost. Everything is just like the Word. We're supposed to edify the Most High through Christ. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It's consistent with the doctrine. That's what these men that were formulating this church were all about. Because it's telling you, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, meaning that spirit that was on Christ is dispersed among what? Men that are like-minded with Christ and the Father.
Like he said it was.
Exactly. Has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. So these cats are not drunk. They rolling in the true Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost of the Heavenly Father. Right? Okay. So now, let's jump down to 36, because now we start to see the nuts and bolts of what the true church of the Most High is formulated under. Read the scripture, brother.
Acts chapter 2, verses 36.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly.
So now, who is he dealing with?
The house of Israel.
All the house of Israel, right? The nation of Israel. Know assuredly. Read on.
That God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Now they what? Consented to his death, but they turned him over to the Romans, right?
Right.
But they were still responsible for what?
For
his crucifixion. Because we know the story. Pilate said, I don't find any fault in this.
Yeah, I washed my hands.
I washed my hands of this whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, kill him, crucify him. Then it was a feast time of some of their wicked pagan days where they said they'll give up... They did an annual thing by spearing one prisoner.
Exactly.
They chose a murderer of Barabbas over Christ.
Yep.
So Christ was then what? Crucified, as the plan was. But they were the ones that consented to it. So now, these were the Israelites who the Messiah was sent for them. Right? Mm-hmm. And they turned around because of their what? Evil mindset. Said, hey, crucify him. So Christ is showing us through the Holy Ghost that happens to be working through Peter right here, because he's the one speaking. Therefore, let all the house of Israel, this is Acts 2, verse 36, know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He was the anointed one, the Messiah, right? So now, read on, brother, 37.
Acts chapter 2, verses 37.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart,
mm-hmm.
and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles,
mm-hmm.
men and brethren, what shall we do?
So now, what is the remedy? Because we screwed up. We see it now. Because now, the understanding of the prophets and the things that Peter brought out through the Holy Ghost has made us see crystal clear. We're doomed.
Yeah. Yeah,
right?
We made a big mistake.
We made a big mistake.
Yeah.
We went into straight wickedness. What can we do, Peter? Is there anything we can do? What is the hope? Read on, bro.
Acts chapter 2, verses 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
So now, this is the understanding. We just hit the crux of the matter. The church is based on what?
It's based on repentance and being baptized in the name of Christ.
In the name of Christ. For what?
The remission of sins.
Exactly. Then what happens? Ye shall receive what?
The gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay. The true Holy Ghost.
So now the process is what? Take steps. These people jump up claiming they're full of the Holy Ghost. They haven't repented one iota. Right?
You can tell that just by looking at a few scriptures.
Exactly. Looking at their deed. Because the Holy Ghost is what shows us all things. Yeah. And this is what people don't even understand, that they're looking at the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Like a conversation I had with a guy talking about the mark of the beast. I was like, dude, the mark of the beast is already involved. You understand? Look how cavalier sin is. The attitude towards sin is, that's the mark of the beast. They looking for some barcode or whatever. The only reason I understand that is what? Because the Holy Ghost has revealed it.
Exactly.
It ain't about me. Exactly. It's about the Spirit of the Most High. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because what? We have to understand that this church, the true church of the Most High in Christ, is grounded in one simple basic tenet. Repentance in the name of Christ, repentance and baptism in the name of Christ, so that you can get released from your sins. That is it. It is nothing else. Matter of fact, let's go real quick to another scripture. Then you guys can weigh in on this point. But I wanted to get grounded on that one point. And we're going to continue this, Lord willing, next week. Three. I just want to go to three.
Okay.
And read verse 13.
Okay.
Because he's saying, he's going to say the same thing. Read 13 and 14 and then jump down to verse 19. This is Peter somewhere else saying what? Something different? Or what the world made it? No. Peter is going to say exactly what the church needs to hear. Read the scripture.
Acts chapter 3, verses 13.
Right.
The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go.
Now that's what, read on 3:14.
But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you.
Now, did we just restate that, right? They went for Barabbas instead of this, and they ended up crucifying Christ. So, having done that, right, we can't take and read the whole thing. 13 and 14, what's the remedy? Verse 19.
Okay. Acts chapter 3, verses 19. Right. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you.
So now, this is the point. The church, if your church is not, because you got these so-called, I'm not even going to call them churches, dens of iniquity. They're grounded in what? The tenets of the Baptist faith, the tenets of Jehovah's Witness, the tenets of Episcopalian,
the dogma of sin.
Exactly. Basically, it's the dogma of sin.
But
right?
That's idolatry. Exactly. Another doctrine.
Black Catholicism. All these other philosophies.
We don't have enough time to.
Exactly. Rastafarianism, Buddhists, all this stuff. And the thing about it is, the Bible is showing us, the Bible will show you what the church that you deal with is supposed to be grounded in if it's a true church of Christ.
Right.
And it's only for what? A group of people to deal with what this Bible is saying right here. What did he tell the people? He told them in Acts 2, real quick, Acts 2. I just want to read Acts 2. What did Peter tell them? And then jump down to 41. And let's get an understanding of what that was about.
Okay, Acts chapter 2, we'll read verse 38.
Right. So they screwed up. He told them repent, just like he told another group to do in Acts 3 chapter. Read on.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verses 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized.
No, they were dunked in water. Because the baptism of Christ, or being baptized in his name, is not water baptism. That's what John was doing. But while John was doing it, it tells you in Mark 4, he was doing what?
Preaching
baptism of repentance
for the remission of sins. Mark 1 and 4.
Mark 1 and 4. He was dunking you in water, but he was teaching you about the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. This is the baptism of Christ and being baptized in his name. Read on. 41.
Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
So now, this is the formulation of what?
The church of Christ.
Is it based on prosperity teaching?
No, not at all.
Is it based on, well, I'm just a pastor and I got something to get off my chest today?
Nope.
It's not based on any of those things. Where did the denominations come in? And the different religions come in?
But,
go ahead, go ahead.
Like you said, brother, it came through man's philosophies and
right.
and mind.
Right.
Acts 5, 32.
Right.
And we are his witnesses of these things. So the things that, like Acts 1, Christ told them, wait in Jerusalem, this is going to happen.
The Holy Ghost, and then they witnessed on
him. Yeah. All right. And so also is the Holy Ghost.
Right.
So it was in God's plan to have this done.
Right.
Okay. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. So when these people, these Israelites, were disobeying God, they went so far as they going into murder.
Right.
Murdering the Holy One.
Right, exactly.
Now, the instruction was repent, meaning obey,
uh-huh.
renew your mind,
right.
Ephesians 4, 22-24,
right.
you know, and get the remission of the sins. And then that's how you get the Holy Ghost. So you can easily look and tell if your church or if you yourself, first of all, are obeying these words, you'll get the understanding of the Holy Ghost from your obedience.
Right, exactly. Because the Holy Ghost was given to them
that
obey him. But obey him at his word, not at someone else's word.
Exactly.
And this is the thing, it's a real simple, easy thing to understand. But our people what? Because they like, it tells you in the Psalms, is it Psalms, how long will you fools love simplicity?
Proverbs 1.
Proverbs 1:8. Exactly. It says, how long will you love simplicity and hate knowledge? And fools hate knowledge. Because what? That's what it is. Oh, I can't get with that. When the Bible is telling you, okay, now, where else do you see the church of God being formulated other than when you read the book of Acts, the first 3 or 4 chapters, about how they were selling possessions and they were bringing it to the church and distributing so everyone had need, so on and so forth. We don't have time. We'll continue this, Lord willing, next week because we run a long time. But where else do you see the formulation of that happening? So your church should be looking like the mirror image of what these churches were looking like. The true church of God in Christ. And we're going to deal with the characteristics of the church that the Most High founded or built with the understanding of Christ. Christ being the foundation of it. And what we want to get our people to understand that all these things have to be based on what the scriptures say. In anything that we partake and say that we're doing it of the Lord. So if the Lord says his church is supposed to have certain characteristics, then if you truly say that you were the church of the Most High in Christ, guess what? You should mirror the image that's written about in the scriptures. So now that's what we started doing, dealing with. And basically, let's do a quick review of two sections of the scriptures. Let's go to Acts, the second chapter, and Acts, the third chapter. We'll just do a quick review. While we're doing a quick review, I want y'all to think about something because I'm going to put y'all on the spot. I just want y'all to give, like, I'm going to read Galatians 1, 13 and 14, right? And then when I read those, you'll understand why I'm asking this question. I want you to give examples of the traditions our people are following instead of so just keep that in mind, and you'll see when we get to it. Let's do a quick review, real quick. I just want I want a long drawn out thing, but just a certain just example of something. Just think about that, and what we'll do is we'll start this. process about the true church of God in Christ, what it's supposed to look like, what it's grounded in, what's the characteristics of it, okay? Acts 2nd chapter, start at verse 36.
Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Right, so now, what happened? The prophecies went out when we talked last week, and that's the first chapter. What did Christ tell the apostles before he ascended the last time?
Wait here in Jerusalem, and you'll be endued with power from on high.
Right, and you're gonna. I want you to wait there until that happens, right?
Yep.
So when you read Acts 2nd chapter, this is that power on high of the Holy Ghost that's manifesting itself in the prophets. What did they do? They start beating on tambourines, beating drums, rolling around, speaking in indiscernible or undiscernible language? No. They started prophesying based on the prophets and all the things that the Most High had said to His Son Christ about the day coming where the body would be built back into the church once again. Right?
And they did that in other languages.
Exactly.
For Israelites that had come to celebrate the day of Pentecost,
right,
that were from all every nation under heaven.
Acts 2 and 5.
The other tongues that they were speaking in were so that these people that were, these Israelites that were visiting from out of country,
right,
could understand about Christ.
That was part of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But now he's building his church based on what? That knowledge and understanding that people are drawn to it. Because the church is built on who?
Right.
Exactly. So now, who is he dealing with? We just read here. Let the whole house of who?
Israel.
Israel know assuredly that that same Christ whom he crucified, meaning consensus, that what they said they wanted Barabbas instead of Christ, and they consented to his crucifixion. He was both made Lord and Christ. This is what the grounding church, the church is being grounded on. That's the verse.
Acts chapter 2, verses 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?
So now, what is the hope? We did this, we were in ignorance when we did it, because we were beguiled or tricked by Satan and his doctrine. We weren't going according to the words of the Most High, and we did this thing that was obedience in the sight of the Most High. What is the river?
Verses 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Read on.
For the promise is unto you,
Israel,
and to your children,
Israel's children,
and to all that are afar off,
and all those that are scattered, because Israel is scattered,
according to the promise.
Exactly.
Even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
So now, this is the understanding that we have. His church is being built on certain understanding and precepts. And the main part of what his church is being built on is the doctrine or gospel of repentance through Christ. And that entails what? The baptism. That makes sense. Because we are a defiled people because we are partakers of a defiled world. So we have to cleanse ourselves when we say we come back to Jesus Christ. We have to amend our ways. That's what repentance is. Cleanse ourselves by applying the Most High's understanding to our life and living in it. And then what? The blessing of the Holy Ghost, meaning the clear understanding and the glue that melds us together with the understanding, is going to come unto us. Now, we read a scripture last week in Acts 5. It talks about how the Holy Ghost, in Acts 5, verse 32, is only given to them that what?
Obey.
Meaning that we have a job to do. There are certain things we have to do if we're going to truly be in this church. Because there are churches, many, but there are only few churches. Excuse me. But there is only one pure church that is set up and built up on Christ. That is the true church of God in Christ. So now, well, having said that, go to Acts 3:19, because he tells another group, what's the remedy for that? Acts 3:19.
Acts chapter 3, verses 19.
Uh-huh.
Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of the confession shall come forth from the presence of the Lord.
So now, what did he tell the other group? Did he tell them something different?
No.
Okay, when he said the God of Abraham in verse 13, Acts 3, verse 13, the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, not the God of all nations. He's the God of Israel. He created all people and all things. But he chose a select people in the earth to be holy unto him. He has a special relationship with them, not all people. That's where people get screwed up. Because now we just read, this promises us to you, Israel, to your children, and to them, the Israelites that are scattered abroad, that are far off. So now people flip that based on what? Religions and philosophy and traditions. But that's not based on what the church is around and talking about. What do the Israelite men and women have to do? Men, women, and children have to do? They have to come to this knowledge, this understanding that the church is grounded on through repentance in Christ for the remission of sins. Period. That's what the church's basic tenet is, and we're going to truly be in that church. So now, when we look at this now, I said something that this thing comes about through what? Religion. And tradition. All right, I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'm going to ask y'all the question that I wanted y'all to ponder. Galatians 1, I'm going to read verse 13 and 14. Right? Now, Paul is a man that's a minister, an able minister of the church of God, right? Okay, now let's see, was he always that way? Because there's going to be a difference. Galatians 1, verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation, meaning lifestyle or manner of life, in times past in the what? Jews religion. That ain't got nothing to do with the Church of the Most High.
Why?
Because it's based on traditions and philosophies that go against the commandments.
Exactly.
It says, for ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted Church of God and wasted it. So there's a distinction between what the Jews in those quarters were doing that didn't believe on the Messiah and the traditions that they upheld, no different than the Baptist religion, the Pentecostal, the Holy Witnesses, Catholicism. These things aren't built and grounded on the scriptures. So there is a separation between religion and the true Church of God. So let's read on. I'll read it again. It says Galatians 1 and 13. And ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, because he's only dealing with one nation, the nation Israel, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. So what is the religion of the world based on? The what? Traditions of men. The precepts of men, the traditions of men. Because Paul is clearly showing us here, he was outside of the understanding of the true Church of God in Christ. There is a distinction between the Church of God in Christ and religion. Religions all, because they're all based on some idolatry, some man's precepts, some man's understanding. Because the basic tenets of the true Church of God in Christ is what? Repentance in Christ's name for the remission of sins, for that baptism and the receiving of the Holy Ghost, right? What is the tenets of the Baptist religion? Jehovah Witness religion? Rastafarianism? Buddha? Hare Krishna? What is the tenets of those things? And they all claim that they have a pathway to God. And it's not true. So now, my question is, I said a lot, but I want you guys, each of you, to pick an example of how a certain church or philosophy is following traditions other than the Bible. Because that's what religions are based on. Anybody can go start first.
We only have about 45 minutes.
Right. No, I just want
to... I
got
time to go over.
No, I don't want
to go much detail here.
Just pick one example. You don't have to get long with it. It's just one quick example of the way a person that goes to, like, Catholicism or that deals with the Baptist religion or the Baptist church, they call it, or the Pentecostal or Jehovah Witness, Seventh-day Adventist. I mean, brother, you was raised as a Jehovah Witness, so
yeah.
That should be a shoo-in. One thing that they do. Somebody pick something and bring it up.
You want to go? Well, we'll just say this. I mean, there's many different examples,
right.
But just to pick one,
right.
My background is a Seventh-day Adventist.
Exactly.
They worship, they say, on the so-called Saturday, which is Saturday. And give or take is
some of it is true because really their concept of when the day starts is really this midnight in this world, but when you're reading the scripture, the day starts in the evening.
That's a perfect example.
Read
that scripture.
But another thing I was going to say is what they do is, you know, they say they keep the Sabbath on that day, but then they'll go home and they'll kindle a fire, meaning they'll turn on the stove, they'll cook something to eat. And the scriptures tell us that you shall kindle no fire on the Sabbath day or prepare your food for the Sabbath.
Right. So are they truly believing the Sabbath?
No, they're not truly believing the Sabbath because that's a tradition that came from traditions of men. Because that's how the scriptures put it. I just wanted to read one quick scripture because it's going to explain, you know, what we've been saying and what Paul was saying. I was just going to do that. Let's go to Mark 7 real quick. Mark chapter 7, just to get a full understanding, we'll start at verses 1, but then we'll skip around a little bit. Because Paul just says that he came from what? The Jews' religion?
Mm-hmm.
And who made up the Jews at that time? The so-called scribes and the Pharisees, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So Mark chapter 7, verses 1.
Mm-hmm.
Then came together unto him, meaning him is talking about Christ. It says, the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. So when the scribes and the Pharisees saw some of the Christ's disciples eat without first washing their hands, they find fault with that, right? Something's wrong with that. Verses 3 says, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. So the Pharisees and all the Jews, right, unless they wash their hands often, they didn't eat, and that was the tradition of the elders, but they brought that tradition and made it a commandment, like a commandment from God, and now they're finding fault with Christ. This was something that Paul was a part of, the Jews' religion. But we'll skip around. We'll read at verse 7. This is Christ now speaking. He says, howbeit in vain do they worship, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
Now, just one point. He's quoting the prophet Isaiah that already had prophesied about the image of the mindset.
Right. It says, verses 8, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things. So he's explaining them for laying aside the commandments of God because there is no way, nowhere in the commandments where it says you should wash your hands. And if you want to wash your hands with sanitary purposes, that's fine, but don't make it a commandment. Says, well, God said this, and if you don't do it, then you're going off.
Exactly. But that's the point that I was making. Those are the kind of things that go on. And just like you said, the Sabbath day is this. They say they keep the Sabbath, but do they really keep the Sabbath?
No, they don't.
Because they don't do it based on what?
Based on the commandment.
The sun, the Most High said a day comes, what? Evening to evening.
Right.
Right? It tells us in Leviticus 23, you shall keep your Sabbath from evening to evening.
Right.
It tells you at the beginning of the creation, the evening and the morning was the what? First day.
Right.
So the next day starts when?
It's
in the evening.
Right.
Exactly. So now our people get screwed up because they've been brainwashed. Oh, he don't know. It's 12 o'clock midnight. What the hell he talking about? So it's like, forget what the Bible says. Let's continue following the traditions of a corrupt man according to this corrupt world. And this is the point that we're trying to bring out in dealing with the true example of the way a church of God in Christ will look like. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Bring out the point.
One more example, and even though I was raised in Jehovah's Witness, and I talk with Jehovah's Witnesses from time to time and ask them things because we talk. Even though I want to say something about that, there is another thing that is a sore plague amongst our people. I want to go over that.
Okay.
Some preachers take a scripture like 1 Corinthians 9 and 9. It says, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of the ox? So what preachers will say, or the spiritual leaders will say is, listen, I'm doing this work in the community. This is work. I'm plowing out the way, guiding you through to the kingdom. So, therefore, I should have a salary. I should make money. I should have this. I should have that. I should have this. Yes, and I should have it tax-free, and I should be able to sue the government if they want to investigate me for extortion, stuff like things that are going on nowadays, because the government, the powers that be are ordained of God. If they're investigating you, something's got to be wrong, okay? So, but they're getting all upset by that and trying to rally people around them to get them more money. But they're not reading all the way down. We'll go to 1 Corinthians 9 and 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? So that's another, that's not saying that if a man is going over the scriptures with you, he has a right to collect money from you. That's not saying that. Paul is asking a question. He's not making a statement. He says, if we have given you and provided spiritual things for you, is it a great thing or is it a big deal if we reap the carnal things? Read verse 12. If others be partakers of this power over you, so if others are making money off of you for teaching you things that they say are spiritual, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer, meaning, but allow all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. So when you get into collecting money for a salary or something like that, for being a head over a congregation and stuff like that, when the scriptures say, if you don't work on a jobby job, you know, you don't eat. You know, if you're doing that, you are hindering the gospel of Christ.
Exactly, and that's a good point, because Matthew 10 tells us, when he sent the apostles out to do his work, according to uplifting him, through the name of his student, lifting Christ through the power of his Father, he told them, freely you receive,
freely give.
So if we truly are members of the church, all these kinds of things pertain to us when we're dealing with these scriptures. So now let's deal with something real quick. Now, those were good examples. I know I put you on the spot, but those are good examples, and thank brothers didn't get long winded because I know that's like a hot topic.
Oh, man. Okay. What time?
But now, let's look at this. Now, the point that I was going on when you brothers were bringing out these beautiful examples is this. Galatians 1, verse 13 and 14. Showing you a distinction between religions according to the traditions of man, that's what's in the world, and the church of God. It says here, Galatians 1, verse 13, for ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, his lifestyle, his manner of life. Paul was an astute man in the doctrines of the scribes and the Pharisees and that tradition and philosophy they were putting out.
Because that's what he was taught from a youth.
Exactly. It says, for ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. Right? So now, what do you see in the Bible? Because you got a lot of groups out here claiming Israel. What do you see in the Bible that you're supposed to proclaim that you're the greatest thing that ever happened to the planet?
Well, where does it say that you're supposed to try to be militant and oversight?
Exactly, because of what they're carnal. Because
yes.
The scripture's like, you got a lot of these Israelites who's training, martial arts, weapons training, because they think they're going to take the kingdom like it says in Daniel. But the scriptures say the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. They're spiritual.
Yes.
To the bringing down of strongholds. That's what? Making sure that people understand the things that go against God and get it in their head, like what we're dealing with right now. Mm-hmm. This image of this mega church and the man standing over you saying he's the leader. That's the kind of stronghold that we pull down, and that's the fight that we're in, because that is spiritual, because your understanding is darkened by what? The dark spirit that is in this world called Satan.
And you know what? Mm-hmm. The reason why the Lord has given us the understanding of this is that we had to first take recognize the stronghold on our brain.
Exactly.
And start to destroy them and get overcome them and overcome the world that's in our mind.
Exactly.
So that now we can see it better to help our people.
Exactly.
It's not that we're better or we're
right.
this or that.
We're gonna get into
what we're doing is we're just leaving.
We're gonna get into it. Now, let's deal with this point now. Because let's go to Matthew 16 chapter. And let's read something. Christ, he's showing you how and what he's building his church for. Right? Go to Matthew 16. We'll deal with the man first. Because he is the man. He's the leader. He's the grand poobah, whatever word you want to put on him. You got men walking around talking about they're the leader. That's my flock. And this and that. No. We're just merely a true leader. Excuse me, a true man in Christ that is in a position of leadership per se is only a leader to guide the people to who?
Right.
The real leader.
The real leader. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not exalting, he's such a godly man. My pastor or that guru or this fool walking around calling himself the conqueror. All these people are what? Or general this and that.
That's
or high priest. What
that's
about that one? All these high priests and archbishops and these guys, and the scriptures tell you the bishop of our souls is who?
Christ.
The high priest is who?
Christ.
So we're supposed to be leading the people not to us, but to Christ. So now, let's read this and get this understanding. Because a lot of people are in this part of this scripture. Matthew, he's talking about how he's building his true church. Matthew 16, start at verse 15, because it's a serious question. But I want to get right to the point.
Matthew chapter 16, verses 15.
Mm-hmm.
He says unto them, but whom say ye that I am?
Mm-hmm.
Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against
thee. Stop. So now, is this what he made Peter the grand high exalted?
Peter was the first pope, right?
Yeah. This is the madness that comes in.
Or another madness is, when you get to the pearly gates.
And
Peter's
but see, these are all what? Traditions based on what? Philosophies, and they have indoctrinated themselves into so-called religions in this earth, and it's all doctrines of devils. Because what he's saying is, you got to pay attention to what he said. The point is, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So Peter had gained understanding through the Holy Ghost that the Father would give them that what? The belief. Because what were all these cats saying? These other cats saying?
Oh,
are you a
prophet,
Jeremiah or Isaiah or
Jeremiah?
He's another one of the other prophets. They try to have a carnal aspect on that. But Peter, through the Spirit, has a spiritual understanding of what was going on. This is what the church is grounded on. This understanding of the spiritual understanding in Christ. Knowing who you're dealing with. This guy is our anointed Messiah. He is the true leader. He is the image that we are supposed to emulate in this earth. He is our captain of our salvation. That's the understanding, not a man or a man's doctrine. So that means that if you have that understanding, everything this guy, if you truly believe, says, what are you going to do? That's the key. That's how the church is going to be built on the instruction and understanding on who Christ is and what he's instructing. So now, we're going to go on because I want to bring out a point with this just to ground it, and then you can bring it out. So now, was Peter made a high exalted ruler? Let's read it again. I'll read it again. It says, he saith unto them, this is Matthew 16, verse 15.
Yep.
He says unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Right? Now, here's another key, verse 19.
And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What was that? The two keys that people...
Yeah, he's got on a big giant cane key ring.
Yeah, with a key ring.
The keys to heaven is what, like, in Acts, when Peter was walking around saying, like, in, I think it's the beginning of chapter 4, chapter 5, when he was walking to the beggar wanted alms, and he was like, no. Repent in the name of Jesus Christ.
That's the key to the heavens.
That understanding of what we have to do is the key to the heavens.
Christ is the Messiah. He's the one that got us ordered in the Word of God, and we must do what he said. And what did he base the founding of his church on? Repentance through his name for the baptism and the remission of sin and the receiving of the what? Holy Ghost, what Peter is dealing with right here. Because no one whispered in his ear and told him that. He understood based on what? The Holy Spirit that the Father has put in him or on him. So now it says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So basically what it's going to say is, either you're going to get into the understanding and the doctrine of the Most High through Christ, or you're not. You're going to either bind, be free through Christ, because he shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yep.
Or you're going to be a servant of sin, and you're going to be in bondage to what? Satan. So now, nothing different than what he told Cain, right? If you do what you do well, you'll be accepted. But if you do what? Against what I'm saying, you're going to be Satan, burning your mind out of store. So you're going to either be free through the knowledge and understanding of the Christ, or you're going to be in bondage to who? Satan. So now, Peter was not made the grand, high, exalted grand pooper. Two more scriptures down that you bring your point out. What are we supposed to be? We just said, if we are true men in Christ, we're supposed to be guiding the people from the madness in the world, not to our church, because we're the greatest, or we the black Israelites, and we're going to put the white man in chains, and they're going to go in slavery.
We're militant. No, that's not what it is.
We're supposed to all come to our church because we're the greatest, and you can pay your tithes to the pastor. He's a great man. He needs another jet. No, he wants a Learjet and a rocket ship.
So let's pay our money.
That's not what it is. We're supposed to guide people to who? Christ. It's not about us or man. It's about the doctrine of the Most High and men and women picking up their Bibles to understand what it is they have to do to return to the Most High in Christ.
And
that is the formulation of the church, because the church is the body. So now, go to Acts 20.
And then one point on that, when you go to that scripture, though, but when you do that, when you read your Bible for yourself, working on your own salvation with fear and trembling, according to as it is written, the Most High through Christ will show you who to fellowship with.
Exactly. Acts 20 and verse 28. Read that.
Acts chapter 20, verse 28.
They're talking to the elders in the church in Ephesus. So what is Paul instructing? You the leaders? You over men? What is he teaching? Read the scripture.
Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers.
What?
Has made you overseers.
No, the leaders, the grand poobah.
The ones with the most money.
Made you what?
Overseers.
Read on.
To feed the church of God.
To do what? To lead them and guide them, put your thumb on them, and do whatever it is. To just rule over them with rigor. To what? To feed
the church of God.
That's what we're supposed to be doing. Feeding the Lord with what? The words of the Most High and the understanding through who?
Christ.
That's what we are to do. Now, you can either accept it or reject it. That's up to you. It's not for us to what? Line up out in the street like some of these groups do and bum rush somebody.
Yeah.
And beat them because they're not teaching what you're teaching. Where is that in the scriptures?
We're not getting personal.
These are all actual things that are happening in the earth with groups claiming to be about God and Christ. We're going the whole gamut. We're going from the so-called religions to the so-called BHI, as they say on the internet, Black Hebrew Israelites. And I'm still trying to put my head around that one. What's a Black Hebrew Israelite? But anyway, this is the understanding according to the scriptures that we're supposed to be the guides of the Most High to do what? Feed the church of God. So now, that is not a particular place. That's the body of Christ. Because
Because if you're doing the will of the Most High according to as it is written in Christ, you are part of the Church of Christ. We are, regardless where you're at. You can be in New Zealand or Afghanistan, Bora Bora, anywhere. And as long as you're dealing with the scriptures, hold on, because I want to deal with something.
Okay.
So it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost, that what? Instruction through the Spirit, that's going in one lockstep, one accord, and one accord with Christ, the Most High, has made you overseers, not rulers, not tyrants, not dictators, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. So now, who owns us? Because he purchased the church what?
With his own blood.
All right, so exactly. One more scripture on that, and then I'll do brother, Colossians 1 and 18. So who should always the big ups go to?
Christ. It tells you, if any man glory, let him glory in the Lord.
Let's go to Colossians 1. Let's read verse 18.
Colossians 1 and 18.
Right. Okay, wait a minute. Let's just start at 17 just to pick up the point.
Okay. Colossians 1, 17.
Right.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Right. That's Christ, because he was the one that made everything there is. He's the Alpha and Omega. Read on.
18. And he is the head of the body, the church.
So what's the church? A place? A building? No. It's the body of Christ. That's the church. Meaning people assemble in their right mindset, dealing spiritually with what is written. Not fables, not fairy tales, not traditions of people, not in different denominations or religions, but according to what is written in the Bible, the true understanding that Christ gave us.
Okay.
Read that again from the top.
Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
So what is this? If he's got the preeminence in all things, what is this, I'm a high priest? Or I'm the leader of this mega church, let's praise this man. And then this man is talking about what? Prosperity. These people ain't talking about repentance in Christ's name for the remission of sins. They're talking about madness, whatever it is. Whether they standing up talking about the white man's the devil, or they in church talking about women thou art loose.
Oh,
or are they talking like crap? I'm trying not to mention the name. Money's coming to get you.
Having flow of
dollars.
You know
what I mean? And flow of dollars and this and that. That is madness, but our people love it so. The prophets prophesy falsely, but our people love to have it so. Why? Because they won't sit down and study and get an understanding of what a church and a true church leader of a church is supposed to be about and supposed to look like. Now, I know y'all were holding stuff. Y'all go ahead and bring up the point.
There's like so many scriptures that was just coming to mind, but we'll just go to a couple of them. Now, the point was brought out that, we should follow Christ and that's what we should teach about.
Right.
But it's always been that way, even before he came to earth. In the flesh.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Because when you look throughout the Old Testament, it was Christ who was dealing with what? Us.
Exactly.
The wilderness, the prophets that Moses sent to deal with Israel. So Christ was going to be dealing with it.
Right.
So we'll go to Malachi chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll read verse 7, because anyone who's up saying they're teaching the word of God or teaching the children of God, they should have a certain characteristic and certain things that they should be teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So Malachi chapter 2, verse 7,
mm-hmm.
says, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should speak the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. So back then, you had the Levites, which were set up as the priests, right? The Most High is telling us there that their lips should keep knowledge, the knowledge that's written in the Bible, right? And they should seek the law at his mouth, meaning they should be teaching the people how to do the laws of the Most High and how to keep it, and teaching them the judgment that comes behind breaking those laws. It says, for what? For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. He's the one that the Most High put the Spirit on, and Christ was dealing with them
that they should teach the people.
Exactly.
Right? Now, another point is, we brought out earlier that we should be emulating, or we should be striving to be more like Christ.
Exactly.
Now, when you look at our people mainly, you see that they always say that, well, you know, I'm in Christ, I love Christ, you know, and they go to church every Sunday, singing hallelujah, this and that, jumping up,
dropping Christ.
Exactly, you know, saying they're in the Holy Ghost and acting real crazy because that's not the Holy Ghost.
That's what they were taught.
Exactly, that's what they were taught. But we'll read Luke chapter 6, verses 46. This is what Christ says. He says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" What did he come preaching? Repentance from our sins. So why are you in there every or whatever day it is, saying you're praising God and he's your Lord and he's your Christ, and you're not doing the thing that he says? In there, right after church is over, what do you do? Go outside, smoke a cigarette,
go shopping.
Exactly, things like that.
But see, the thing that you're saying, though, the people have a misunderstanding when you say go outside, smoke a cigarette, go shopping, cook, whatever, right?
Right.
But the reason that people have a misunderstanding is because there are ordinances surrounded around that so-called, that's a high holy day for you, where you're not supposed to be buying and selling.
Right.
The scriptures say that you're not supposed to be doing things to destroy your physical health, excesses in life, period.
Yeah.
Right? And then these are the things that the people misunderstand. Why? Because they're not dealing with the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
And that's the point.
True repentance.
Exactly. That's the scriptures. Because the laws and the commandments and all those things go together to make us one perfect man in Christ. But they don't understand that. They just dismiss that. Like it's kryptonite. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay. And let's hang on Luke 6:46 for a second. It says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" If you don't know what the things are that he said, you need to do some research. And these scriptures. And if you're not doing the research to find out what he said to do, you're not doing it by default.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, so,
because you're going based on what? Men's teachings.
Exactly.
And doctrines of devils.
Whether that man is another man or that man is your inner man, well, you say, well, it don't feel right in my spirit. I'm going to puff this blunt. You know, okay. Now, another couple things. The brother had mentioned that Christ was teaching the people in the Old Testament, our people, the Israelites. And it mentions it here again in Acts chapter 7. We're going to just read a couple of scriptures in Acts chapter 7. "This is that Moses was said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear." Remember Matthew 17 and 5. Elijah, vision, the vision of Moses, and Christ was there. His clothes got exceedingly white, and a voice from heaven, a cloud covered him, a voice from heaven said, "This is my son, hear ye him." So this is talking about Christ. Okay. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel, which spake to him in Mount Sinai and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us. So Christ came to bring us from death, dead, spiritual state unto life, with the lively oracles according to as it is written.
Well, who was he dealing with?
He was dealing with Moses at that time.
Who was Moses dealing with?
Moses was dealing with Christ.
And who was they all dealing with?
Was the children of Israel.
Right.
The children of Israel. And that's the point.
Church.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's the point. Now look at this. This is he that was in the church. And you can read Exodus 12 and 3. It says the whole congregation of the house of Israel. Okay. When they were moving, they were packing up going here, packing up going there, packing up going here, packing up going there for 40 years in the wilderness. What gigantic 2 million square foot brick, adobe trimmed, gargoyle on the upper roof level building did they have? They didn't have all that, with cameras hanging from the ceiling going this way and that way. They didn't have all that. It was the fact that when they were being baptized into Christ, they were cleansing their minds, and they were all supposed to be on the same mindset, and they were, this body was supposed to be back then, but our people corrupted it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Then reading down again, Acts 7, 48. "Howbeit the Most High
dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. So remember, when they, the scribes and Pharisees came to Christ, I think it's in John, and he said, well, tell us immediately now, when is the kingdom of heaven going to appear? And he was like, listen, don't you know the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven dwells among you. Once you get your mind right, the Holy Spirit is given to them that obey him. Then that's how you had the kingdom of heaven dwelling in you. You take the keys of the kingdom of heaven and you use them on yourself.
Right.
Because the Most High is not dwelling in temples, tabernacles, churches, buildings, whatever made with men's hands.
That's
He's
not
going to dwell in our mind if we obey him.
The church is a collective body of people that have the same mindset as who?
As Christ, and
now,
are trying to better themselves.
And when I say a collective body of people, it's not all people. It's his church, his true church that he established where? In Israel.
Yes.
Because when you check the scriptures, that's what the church is formulated against. I mean, formulated with. Because now we read, what you just read does not contradict what we read in Acts, the second chapter, where it says, promise, and the promises pertaining to the Israelites in Romans 9, verses 4 and 5.
Yep.
This promise is unto you, Israel, and to unto your children, Israel, and to them that are far off, scattered Israel,
exactly.
For as many as the Lord shall call back into this what? Calling.
Exactly.
That's the point, and that's what we have to understand, one of the points we have to understand about this church.
One more thing, and being able to pick up the Bible and read, amongst other places, Deuteronomy 28:15-68, and say, hey, wait a minute, that's talking about me, so I must be an Israelite, so I have to repent and get myself right. Just that point of understanding, it just to get that's a gift from God.
Exactly.
And that's the start of repentance.
Exactly.
To come out of the world thinking that you're Greek, Puerto Rican,
American,
black,
Jamaican,
mulatto, Jamaican, yeah, all
Puerto
these.
Puerto Rican, Hispanic,
Afro-Canadian.
Yeah, or Afro-British, or whatever. But anyway, let's deal with this, because now that was a beautiful point you brought to bring it out. But now let's bring it right back home again, because now Paul was one, as well as Peter and the other apostles, and what Titus and Timothy and Paul used, they were all being used to establish what, the two churches of God in Christ, right? So what were they using as a mechanism? Something different than Christ used in Matthew 16?
No.
The knowledge that he was talking about Peter received, not from flesh and blood, but from the gift that the Holy Father gave him through the Holy Spirit. He was using the same thing. Now, let's deal with that now. Go to 1 Corinthians 3, and I'll read it, because I'm there, because there's a couple of points that I wanted to bring out in here. In 1 Corinthians 3, starting at verse 9, it says, because now what was going on was there was contentions and strife in the church of Corinth. And some people was claiming that they were of Apollos, and some was saying we with Paul, and this, that, and the other thing. And in the first chapter, he said, no, Christ is not divided. It's one body with what? Many members.
Exactly.
But we all are a collective body, which we establish a church within that body, and we all are on one accord with the Most High through His Son Christ. Right? There's no, well, I'm the leader of this group over here, we Episcopalian. And I'm the leader of this group over here, we Baptist.
And we're going to have an interdenominational festival.
Exactly. There's none of that. It's all one church under Christ, with no denomination. We went over that class about 2 or 3 weeks ago about Ephesians 4.
Yep.
One Bible.
Yep.
With one Spirit.
Yep.
So now, we look at this. What Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, it says, but we are laborers together, meaning him and Apollos are laborers together.
Yep.
But we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Meaning we make up that building, that temple, that church, when we collectively come together in the right mind to serve the Lord in truth and holiness and truth and true righteousness. It says here, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon.
So was Paul laying himself as a foundation?
No, we're going to read the next verse. For other foundation can no man lay.
Lay.
Excuse me. For other foundation can no man lay
then that is laid, which is who? Jesus Christ. So the foundation, that rock that was being set, that Christ said he was establishing Peter in, was not Peter himself. It was who? Christ. The understanding that he is the one. He's the one. He's our Lord and Savior. He's guiding us back to his instructions and what he's teaching us back to the Most High. Because he says what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to me but by, no man can get to the Father but by me. That's John 14.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Verse 14. John 14, verse 6, all right? So now, this is what we're looking at now. When we see this, what is Paul building upon? He's edifying the body, meaning the members of that body, and the understanding and the instruction of the Most High through the Christ based on what the Holy Spirit has revealed to him. The Holy Spirit is the understanding and instructions of the words of the Most High.
Yep,
that's
lively,
what we have to understand.
The lively oracles.
Exactly.
That we speak in according to what we speak.
These are living words. So Christ is being, what, edified. He has the preeminence in all things. That's what it should be about. When you turn on your TV and you look at a so-called religious show, Christ sometimes don't even get a dang honor of religion. They talking about what they want to talk about, what they do. You got to do this, and they giving all these little, don't be scared. You got to be healthy, because the Lord didn't give us the spirit of fear. He gave us the spirit of strength, and
Leader people with a holy olive oil vinegar water foam.
Right. But the thing about it is where is Christ being edified?
He's
in
not
true
being
understanding. That's the point.
So is it
the truth? No, it's not. And the people have to go into their Bible and see what is true and what is not. Now, let me just read something real quick. Now, we look at, when you read this, this is just one place we were talking about, because you can look at Paul's writings to Titus and Timothy and see this foundation of Christ being laid and edified throughout the churches wherever Paul was teaching, and where these men were going establishing these churches, right? It says here, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Did that just start? No, we brought it out that.
That was way back in the day. No,
Stephen
brought it out.
Brought it out in Acts, the 7th chapter, right?
Yeah.
But now, this was already laid from the beginning. I want to go through a prophecy of old. And we're running short on time, and what we'll do is we'll read this prophecy. We'll go to Zechariah real quick and read chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. And then I'll read John 1 and a couple of scriptures out of there. And then if you guys, somebody's got something. John 15.
I got Zechariah 6. You said 12
and 13.
12 and 13.
Read that, please.
Okay. This is Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, that's talking about Christ, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both.
So now, what are we dealing with? This prophet saw what we witnessed in these latter days. People have to be drawn to Christ because the church is going to grow through his teaching. And it's not a faith. It's not a denomination. It's the understanding of the Most High through the teaching and the wisdom and understanding of Christ. That's what it is. That's what the church is founded and grounded on. It's nothing else. All these things about money's coming to get you, prosperity preaching, we the greatest, we the black Israelites, we the this. If you just simply look in your Bible, the Bible doesn't talk about any of that. The Bible over and over is an instruction book of life to the Israelites on how we misstep and how we must get our houses and ourselves and our houses back in the order according to the Most High in his word, and follow Christ, because he's our what? Captain. He's our leader.
Yep.
That's what the church is about. And the men that deal in the church should be the guides thereof. Okay, now, we read that. Just real quick, John 15. John 15, verse 1. a branch shall come out, right?
Yep.
Read this. It says, John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine. This is Christ speaking. And my Father is the husbandman. Now, we read another scripture that we were the husbandry of the Most High, right?
Yep.
A husbandman is like a gardener. He's going to reap his harvest, right? When it's what? Fully mature.
Yep.
Or grown up, right? It says, I am the vine. Christ is that branch. And my Father is the what? Husbandman. He's the gardener. He's going to be the reaper in the end. Read verse 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. So now, he's that branch, and we the branches off of that branch or that vine. So we have to stay on him. This is what the church has to realize. We have to be built up in the image and the stature of who?
Christ.
That's it. Because he's the head sitting on top of that body.
Yep.
And it makes it a perfect operation when what? The head and the body is moving in unison.
Exactly.
That's the point. Because the church is the body. So now it says, verse 9:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, but without me ye can do nothing. Because there's no way we can get to where we're trying to go if we're not dealing with who?
Christ.
That is our lot in life. Our lot in life is to build upon the understanding that Christ left us with, and to edify each and every one that wants to come to this true calling in Christ. And that is what the church is formulated in and of. And that is what we have to do. All right, so we got a few minutes if anybody want to bring something out to close up.
Yeah, just real quick. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19.
Okay.
Because we just read, you know, how Paul talked about how he laid the foundation, and mm-hmm. that foundation is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19, this is what a true church of Christ, of God in Christ, is going to do. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. So that's Christ.
The rock.
Exactly.
Yep.
Having this seal, something that's what? Stamped. Mm-hmm. Not on you, right? It says, the Lord knoweth them that are his, right? So all the ones that's going to follow Christ, he already knows who those people are. It says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So if you're going to say that Christ is your Lord and Savior, you should what? Depart from iniquity, meaning depart from sin.
Right.
And that's the point.
Exactly.
That's a true church of God.
Exactly.
Repentance there.
I'm sorry, but having said that, we give all praises to the Most High and his only begotten Son, Christ, that we had the wherewithal to come out and teach this understanding. Toll free number 1-877-8712. With that, we say shalom.
The merchant ships, minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them are gonna stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you hear to sing these songs of freedom? Before I ever had redemption songs, all I ever had redemption songs, these songs of freedom, songs of freedom.
The Body of Christ Repentant Network, www.thebocc.com.